This podcast has been certified spooky by Alternate Reality. Alternate Reality is the trusted name.
Alternate Reality, the comic book podcast. This is episode 400. We're finally here. Celebrate and have a good time.
Alternate Reality is a podcast about comics, comic-related media, and comic-related merchandise. We do reviews of all sorts, TV, video games, movies, and comic issues. So be warned, the following show material contains spoilers. If you have not read your books, seen the movies, played the games, so forth and so on, then you may want to stop the show until you have done so, or you can proceed at your own caution. You have been warned.
There's a party going on right here, a celebration to last throughout the years. So bring your good times and your laughter too. We gon' celebrate your party with you. Come on now.
Celebration.
Let's all celebrate and have a good time.
Celebration.
We gon' celebrate and have a good time.
Alternate Reality, the comic book podcast. My name is John.
I'm Charlie.
And we're here. This is the second week in a row now, but we're back on track. We're here each and every week to talk to you about the very best things in comic books, comic book news, reviews, previews.
3 weeks from now. Well, can't do a show anymore.
John died. Quit saying that. That's twice tonight that you've referenced my death. It's getting on my nerves.
Better you than me.
You know? not from my point of view. All right. So we're back to do comic book podcast, talk to you about comic books.
And I strangled Charlie at the end of this episode.
Charlie's reoccurring joke that he keeps making tonight is, you know, we finally hit episode 400 after only being in podcasting 12 years, and that we should have made it a lot longer ago. But the reason we didn't was because I quit. And because we went long periods of time without doing a show. So he figures just any time now, something is bound to happen.
No, I said if it takes us this long to do another 400, you'll more than likely be dead.
Me. Not him. He could die in a car accident tomorrow. He could get hit in the head with a steel beam that fell from a high rise. Anything in the world could happen. But no, if somebody's liable to be dead, it's liable to be me. Just because I'm the one with the medical issue.
Do you have a medical issue?
That's the rumor. All right.
I hadn't heard.
So, I'm not going anywhere. Just get that off your mind. Alden Reality is here to stay.
Well, at least if you do, you got somewhere nice to go.
You know what, heaven? Yes, that's nice. I can't wait to get there. Well, I can. Hey, it'll be there. I can take my time. So...
See, I'm just going straight to hell, so, you know.
Yeah, don't joke about that. That's bad. We'll talk about that off there. All right. So, this is episode 400. We are glad to finally be here. It's been a long time coming. We've been in the 300s for like 6 years or more. And it's been, so, you know, we finally made it. We're finally here at episode 400.
I think we've been in the 300s since we quit.
Yeah.
Before we quit.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We've been gone, what, 5 years or so? We've probably... Something like that. I forget. I can do the math later. So the point is, it's been a long time. And I know our fans, the people who listen to us, are excited about this. I'm excited about it. You're excited about it. And we thought about doing a lot of interesting things to celebrate, you know, our 400th episode. We thought about going and doing an on-location broadcast, but gosh, that's a lot of work. Packing up equipment, taking it places. Nah, we didn't want to do that. So what we settled on is we want people to send us messages. So... I tried to send out a notice ahead of time saying, hey, if you have an opportunity, either write an email telling us congratulations and wishing us well for 400 episodes, or record an audio message if you want to, a WAV file, an MP3, something to that effect.
And everyone has failed us miserably.
No, we've got a couple. We got three, actually, two successful messages and one data file that can't be used for anything. But, you know... I feel like there'll be more to come in after the fact. So just because we've actually hit 400 now doesn't mean you can't send one if you haven't gotten around to it. We, you know, when we hit episode 401, 402, 403, if you still want to send that, hey, congratulations on 400 episodes email, please go ahead and do that. We'll read and respond to it whenever we get there. So
except for Dan, he was very nice. He sent us one.
Yeah. So we actually got one, and we got one from Dwayne Fincher, too. I'll try to include those at the end of this episode and any others we may get the next day or so before the show is posted.
Yeah, Dwayne's was late, though. Yeah.
Dwayne's came in last minute, rushed.
And Chris is like, hey, here's something.
Yeah, Chris threw something together, but then didn't even take the time to properly encode it before he sent it to us. So we're loved. We know. But it's our own fault for being gone so long. We do the best we can. All right, so we got a good show lined up for you tonight. We're going to talk about comic books. A lot of interesting stuff came out this past week. And nothing else really on the horizon right now. There's a lot of rumors swirling around the movie industry about things going on. Is James Gunn writing Suicide Squad 2? I don't know, but we're not going to talk about that because that's just all rumor mill stuff. So what we're going to do is we're going to focus on comic books that came out this past
week. Is Avengers 4 going to be titled Avengers Annihilation?
I heard it was going to be Avengers The Last Avenger. I don't know. And did you see the Russo brothers picture they put out that just looks like a big blue light of some kind?
Yeah.
I was like, okay, that could, you know, they've got no marketing budget at Disney. So they just post weird pictures and people sit there and stare at them for hours going, what can it mean? It's genius. It requires no money. So, good job.
It's Instagram, you know, they can do whatever. People take pictures all the time on Instagram, they mean nothing.
Yes. So we're going to do some comics on our 400th episode here. We'll be back in just a moment to get going on that. Alden and Rowdy, the comic book podcast, we'll be back in just a second. Come on and sing along. We're going to party, caramba, fiesta, forever. Come on and sing along. Alden and Rowdy, the comic book podcast, on this, our 400th episode. You're supposed to be sending us emails and telling us how much you appreciate us. So, or don't, you know, if you don't like us, we're happy to hear that too. So, but if you're going to send us an email or a voicemail or whatever you want to send us, you have to send it to the proper address. That address is Alden and Rowdy Podcast, all one words, no period, no hyphens, no spaces, Alden and Rowdy Podcast at gmail.com. So please send us something. We'll be happy to read and respond to it on the air. Or make fun of it. Whatever we need to do. All right, so our first book up tonight is The Immortal Hulk, number 7. This book kind of keeps me on my toes. I never quite know. They don't maintain a consistent feel with this book. It touches in a lot of different pools, all right, because they had kind of made it like a supernatural Werewolf by Night kind of book up till now, where the Hulk prowls at night. He seems to have like some type of supernatural ability to tell who's lying and who's not lying, to sense evil, to ferret it out, things like that. These are abilities that the Hulk never had before.
Yes, he is.
Well, I've never seen him manifested. Normally,
he's never had them all at the same time.
I said,
the whole him being Hulk by night and Banner.
Well,
by day.
I remember that from the original, you know, back in the 1960s. He was Hulk at night. He was Gray Hulk before he was Green Hulk.
Like I said, Peter David, like, worked on a lot of the stuff where he could sense evil people or.
Again,
supernatural.
I had never read anything. The only thing I'd ever read with Hulk in it is Hulk gets mad. Hulk is the strongest one there is. Hulk's fighting the Hulk army.
Fight tank.
Yeah. Okay. That's the Hulk. And then there's a whole breakdown of his multiple personalities and his schizoid fragmentation of his mental state. And
with dad beating his ass.
Yeah, there was that. So now the idea is that the Hulk is immortal, according to this comic book. You can kill Banner all you want to, but the Hulk will not die. There's something supernatural about the Hulk that causes him to come back. You could decimate the Hulk down to like a single atom, almost. I'm being facetious to some point, but you could really do a ton of damage to him, and it would never, even Banner, without him being the Hulk, and it would never be enough, because that night when this moon came out and the sun went down, he would regenerate, and the Hulk would manifest again. And then when the Hulk comes back, he brings Banner with him. So Banner is Banner the next morning, even though Banner died the day before. So this is the situation the Hulk finds himself in. Well, after, you remember me telling you about
His dad in the mirror,
and he Sasquatch. All right, we had that fight. All right, so Alpha Flight, it starts dealing with what they call Shadow Base. Now, Shadow Base is the new version of Gamma Base. It's not run by General Ross anymore. It's run by this other guy. And his job is to take down the Hulk. And General Ross, being whatever he is, because he's been promoted, kind of like in the Marvel movies universe, he's been promoted to a high-level official. And so he's tasked this new guy, who's a more on-the-ground kind of guy, with bringing in the Hulk. Now, they contact Alpha Flight, who's got Sasquatch back. And they said, yeah, we feel like Sasquatch is responsible for a murder of a bunch of people in this hospital. We want you to turn him over to us. And we're going to use him as a lab rat. And they're like, no, he's our teammate. You can't have him. Well, then you're going to have to give us something else. What? Give us Banner. And so Carol Danvers was like, okay. So in order to keep from giving them Walter Langowski, the Sasquatch.
What does Carol Danvers have to do with
it? She's the leader of Alpha Flight.
Okay.
All right. So she's.
I thought Guardian was the leader.
No, not right now.
So it's Ms. Marvel.
Yeah, Ms. Marvel.
Is the leader of
Alpha Flight.
It's weird.
And,
It's really odd.
Yeah, that's right, isn't it? Yeah. Because they're the ones with Sasquatch on the team. And
yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's them.
Vindicator.
But they're not necessarily located out of Canada right now. They're on a big satellite in space, and they're, like, watching over the Earth, right? And so that's where their headquarters is. Anyway.
If you say so.
That's what I read.
Okay.
So she doesn't.
I'm not saying you're lying. I'm just saying.
She doesn't want to turn them over.
I don't know.
She doesn't want to turn him over, so she's willing to give up Banner instead of him.
Okay.
So, but she can't. She knows she can't retrieve Banner on her own. So she calls in the Avengers. So this issue is the Avengers versus the Hulk. And this is kind of the showdown that's been coming anyway, because this is the first time that Banner has seen the other Avengers since
they resurrected. Let him die.
Right. So they more or less corner him.
Seeing it since he told Hawkeye to kill him.
Yeah. Now, they more or less corner him on a strip of country roadway right at sundown, which is the dumbest thing because he goes, you guys shouldn't be here. You know, this nighttime is Hulk's time. Yes, we're aware of the pattern.
There's a full moon out tonight.
He said, we're aware of the pattern. We know that the Hulk tends to come out at night. All right, so why did y'all pick a fight with him at sundown? Okay, that doesn't make any sense. But anyway, to make a long story short, the Hulk comes out. The Hulk versus the Avengers is a no-win. The Hulk decimates them.
Melee.
And what Thor has said, as he knocks Thor's tooth out, and Thor has a concussion after that, is that he's fought the Hulk on multiple occasions. This is the strongest he's ever seen the Hulk. And as the Hulk...
But then again, Thor doesn't have his hammer, so, you know...
Well, and not only that, but
Thor's kind of pretty.
At some point, the Hulk like backhands Black Panther, and he's got that vibranium suit. He said that the power of that backhand almost overloaded the vibranium in the suit, which, as far as he's concerned, is theoretically impossible. And what Thor said to the group at the end of it is like, through whatever mortal means, scientific gamma radiation or whatever, you all have created and. As supernatural being, you have created a man god in the Hulk, or should I say a devil. And so there's a big confrontation between each one in turn, between him and the Hulk. Jennifer, the She-Hulk, has it out with Hulk. She's furious at him because he died and left her alone.
Yeah, I heard that this issue would prove who is the strongest Hulk, I think.
Yeah, well, he knocks her like for miles. But, I mean, he just... completely knocks her for a loop. Although they are kind of struggling at some point, and he has to get into her mind a little bit to get her to drop her guard, because he says something to her that ticks her off, and then she drops her guard. He goes, ha, gotcha. And then he knocks her for 2 or 3 miles away.
It's a weird picture of her.
So the only way that they end up taking him down is Tony Stark, after the Hulkbuster armor that he just built has been destroyed, because the Hulk ripped through it like tinfoil. Then, so he goes up to a satellite where he has Wedding in the Sky, and he calls
it's the whole World War Hulk ending again.
Almost, but he calls it the Helios. And this Helios satellite shoots a super generated, super concentrated beam of sunlight at the ground. Well, if the Hulk comes out at night.
The ground?
No, at the ground. Excuse me. Shoots it from the sky at the ground. So it's like, you know, Independence Day, right?
Yeah.
Right? But it's super concentrated, high ultraviolet light.
What I'm assuming is they're not shooting at the Hulk?
Yes, at the Hulk on the ground. Who's on the ground? All right? So this thing, you know, just like vaporizes a whole town, which was evacuated, thank goodness. And at the end of it, the only thing left is just a little skeleton-looking thing. They basically atomized and vaporized the Hulk's body by using sunlight, because now the Hulk is basically a vampire. The Hulk only comes out at nighttime, and in addition to that, sunlight, for whatever reason, weakens him. Yeah. That's a new thing as far as I know, because the Hulk used to fight in the daytime all the time. So they took the Hulk, and by the end of the episode, he's on the shadow base, and he's in jars, in pieces, but all the pieces have regenerated, and he's alive and aware in chunks in these jars. And this shadow base, people are experimenting on him. This is not going to end well, but it's just really weird how the Hulk has taken on some new level of nefarious dark agent. You know, it's weird. It's like he's almost like Ghost Rider Hulk or something to that effect. He still seems to be working towards good ends, but his methods of getting there are bad even for the Hulk. Like, he doesn't really care if people die in the obtaining of his goals, whatever they are.
So this is issue 7?
That was 7, yes. That just came out.
So is this I'm going to read this forever book?
Well, I'm on it for the time being. You know, if something...
Because I remember we just first, like, reviewed, like, issue 2 or 3, and I was like, so, are you going to read it? And you said, I don't know.
Well, yeah, I didn't know at the time because I was like, this is keeping me intrigued. It's kind of like a train wreck. I don't know that I like what's going on, but I can't look away. I need to see what's happening here. So yeah, for now, I'm still on it. It's a good book. You know, like I said, to see the sheer level, I've always been of the mindset that Hulk is the strongest one there is.
Yeah.
I don't get, you know, they ticked me off during the Avengers movie when Thanos handed his hand to him, you know, and...
Well, I heard another theory that, like, the Hulk wasn't afraid of him. He just was mad and that he wasn't just going to show up. And
right. Well, I heard that. The thing I heard.
Just kind of silly.
The thing I heard is that the Hulk is mad, not at Thanos or anybody else, but at Banner.
Yeah, Banner.
Because he wants to play him like a trump card whenever he's in trouble or needs something. The Hulk doesn't want that. The Hulk wants to live. The Hulk wants to have his own life and to be out of the box all the time.
Yeah.
So that means either doing away with Banner and putting him in the box, or they have to come up with some type of arrangement. But until Banner is willing to talk to Hulk about it, Hulk said, I ain't coming out. This was a bad time for him to have this, you know, take this stand. You know?
Especially when Loki got killed. And
yeah. So, but like I said, the thing I like about this book is the power level of the Hulk is off the chart compared to even what we've seen in the past. So it's really good. I really am enjoying it. All right. But it is odd. It's kind of like drinking a drink that you go, I don't know if I like that or not, but give me some more. Yeah. That's where I'm at with that. All right, Charlie, big thing's been coming up as far as this book is concerned. We've been gearing up for this for a while now in the comic book world. Spider-Geddon number 1 finally made its debut.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, why, like, the tie-in issue last week was the Superior Octopus number 1.
Mm-hmm.
And we get the answer in this book, really, because all the spiders from the dimensions and stuff have went on to, like, talk to Doc Ock. And they're like, look, you shouldn't be doing what you're doing. And you were right last time. His clone body
mm-hmm.
was a clone body, and he can change his mind.
Right.
just like the Inheritors did.
Right.
And the Spider-Man from the other Spider-Verses are like, look, you don't know it, but you're being played by the Inheritors. And he's like, well, that's impossible. I check these machines all the time. And Octavia, the steampunk woman from her Spider-Verse, she's like Dr. Octopus, but she's a good guy from the steampunk world.
Right.
She checks his machines and she's like, no, what you're doing is you're getting like a feedback loop. Like, you know, like in the movies where they have those videos
right.
with security. And she said, that's what you're getting, where like you're seeing the same image
over and over
and over and over again, but really
you're not getting real results.
Your actual machines are saying that these things are cloning the Inheritors. And he's like, ah, that's impossible, blah, blah, blah.
The thing about
Superior Spider,
the thing about the Superior Octopus is in his mind, he can do no wrong.
Yeah.
This is his Achilles heel.
Yeah. Well, one of the bottles bursts open and it's one of the Inheritors, Moreland. He comes in and he kills Spider-Man Noir just like right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
And then like while they're fighting them, the other two pop out of their things and one of them kills Spider-Brit.
Right.
Snaps his neck.
A lot of Spider-Men die in this episode, this issue.
Yeah. At least three. And then the funny thing is they go to
that one starts to bite Dr. Octopus.
Yeah, and what the Inheritors are doing is they gain power from killing people who have spider powers.
Right. What they call totems.
Yeah.
Anybody that draws power from an animal of some kind.
And if you don't understand what the totem thing, it all refers back to when J. Michael Straczynski was writing the book. He brought in this one guy.
Named Ezekiel, wasn't that right?
Something like that.
A hairy old looking dude.
Yeah, he kind of looked like a Wolverine guy.
Right. Short.
But he was helping Peter because he said they had similar powers.
Mm-hmm.
And Moreland was the first one they faced. And he said that he was a spider totem, or he had spider-like powers.
Right.
Which is silly because we all know Spider-Man has fly-like powers. And it's just Stan Lee thought it'd be better. He's like, he's a Spider-Man. But yeah, they go up to like Octopus because he's dressed up kind of like the other Spider-Man because his Octopus costume is kind of like theirs.
Right.
And they realize that he doesn't have any of their powers. And he's like, well, you're not even worth bothering with, so they just leave him alone. And that insults him to, like, no end. Like, he, like, gets so ticked off. And I kind of realize this is how we're going to get that book, The Superior Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have to redeem himself after all this.
Right. Because this is basically all his fault.
Yeah. They'll allow him to become a Spider-Man or something.
He makes a good argument at this point, at some point in the book, when he said, you know, if we had killed all these guys last time, like I said,
instead of just dumping them on a planet.
Yeah. Then this wouldn't be a problem. So y'all created the doorway for him to get back. Not me, by not ending it. It's the old Joker Batman argument. You know, if Batman would just kill Joker.
Because theoretically, they're still on that planet. Mm-hmm. But they're kind of like in dormancy on this planet that's mm-hmm. like all radioactive.
Well, they're wasting away too because they're starving. They don't have anything to eat.
Yeah.
So I guess the idea was they'd eventually die.
Yeah.
But that was a more humane thing to do to them than just killing them.
It's more like sending them in prison without giving them any food.
Yeah. I don't know if that's any more humane or not.
Well, like death row prisoners or something like that. You know, they're going to eventually die. But
right.
You know, you just. But yeah, it's kind of weird how this is going to happen.
So.
But I was like, man, they killed Spider-Man Noir and he's supposed to be in the movie in a month or so.
So I think they just really look for a reason to do these crossovers because they like all these Spider-Men in a comic book together. I think this is a thing that we're going to see every 2 or 3 or 4 years because they'll find another reason to do it and to bring them back together. And when you've got infinite multiverse, parallel realities that you can draw from, then you've got infinite spider characters. So you never run out of ammunition. So,
well, they've done that before. I mean, just like in different cases where they've said, like, the Age of Apocalypse storyline isn't actually an alternate timeline.
Mm-hmm.
It's an alternate reality.
Right.
Where that happened because of the Omicron crystal. But they do that every so often. They try to explain it that way. That's how DC screwed up their continuity with, like, the Superman's girlfriend, Lois Lane. And they had to explain, like, why every issue was like, oh, she's married to Superman.
No, but she's not.
Yeah. Or this issue, she's married to Batman. Well, they created a different universe every time that happened. We all know how that turned out.
I want to give a quick shout out to Chris Parton, who's in the Facebook Live stream.
So. Now you can yell at him.
Tomorrow's you, Parton. You sent me the wrong kind of file a while ago. I can't use a DAT file. Send me an MP3 or WAV, man. Do it over.
Send my DAT fan file. I'm DAT fan.
And I think my brother stuck his head in for like a minute and said, happy 400, you guys kill. And then I think he's gone. So.
We don't kill. We just maim.
And I think Parton said that, no, he was tall. I think when one of us said Ezekiel was short. So.
I don't remember saying he was.
I said he was short. I seem to remember him as a short character. But he said he was tall. So.
I don't remember.
It's all right. No, you're not an idiot, Parton, but we all make mistakes. Some of us makes lots of mistakes, but we do the best we can.
Doing this podcast.
He's saying when we kill, he's not saying we're murderers. He's saying that we're killing it by doing a good job.
Come on. Go on.
All right. That's enough interaction with the audience. All right. Supergirl number 23. So since the whole Brian Michael Bendis, Rogar Zal thing going on in Superman, I've not talked about this Supergirl book that was gone for a little while and then came back.
How's that going, by the way, Superman?
Oh, in that story? It's weird. So I'll touch on that just quickly because you ask. Basically, like, Superman and Rogar Zal fought each other.
Yeah.
And then Supergirl comes out with the Phantom Zone projector. She zaps him into the Phantom Zone, so he's gone. Oh, thank goodness. We'll never know what happened with him. And then Supergirl says, yeah, we're going to find out. So she takes that big battle axe thing of his and goes off into the universe trying to look for answers of who he was and what happened to Krypton. So that's what her story's about. In the meantime, Superman goes back to Earth, and he's waiting for Jonathan and Lois to get back. He went on an adventure with Grandpa Jor-El.
Yeah.
Suddenly, the Earth is sucked into the Phantom Zone, too. So now the entire planet is in the Phantom Zone, and now there he is with Rogar Zal. And not only him, but Jack Sur, which is a terrorist from Krypton's history that was cast in the Phantom Zone, and like a million heinous creatures that are in there with him. And so he's fighting all these guys back. So he enlists the Justice League to help him get the planet out of the Phantom Zone. The Atom somehow or another figures out a way to do it. And the last issue is them taking the planet back to normal space, but Superman is still in the Phantom Zone with Rogar Zal. I don't know how he's going to get out. But the weird twist at the end of that is that you shift back to normal reality, and there is Adam Strange, who's sitting there floating by an Earth satellite going, the Earth is missing. And you just pan over, and there's no Earth there. So now it's not in the Phantom Zone, but it's not back in its normal space, and we don't know where it's at.
That's weird.
So that's what's going on.
Batman's like, why are we in the Phantom Zone?
So, yeah, that book is a decompressed story. It really is kind of taking its time to spread out. It's not happening really, really fast. So I suspect that Action Comics, which deals with his day-to-day life at the planet, may actually be the better book. I'm just saying. I don't know. But this Supergirl book, I wanted to mention this because this is kind of interesting because she goes all the way to MOGO, which is where the Green Lanterns are at. I don't remember what made her think this was the place to go. I guess she thought that they might know something because they're the Guardians of the Universe, right? And so she goes, she takes Crypto with her.
Yeah, because MOGO is now the Green Lantern planet because
OO was destroyed at some point recently.
Yeah.
So he... she goes and they say, "She, I need to access the central data core.
I need to ask about this ass.
Ask about this axe.
Ask."
I know, but that's, you know, certain people say axe when they mean to say ask. Anyway.
Yeah, I know. That was the joke.
Yeah.
I need to ask about this ask.
Oh, I just said axe twice, but okay. You flipped it. See, if you got to explain a joke, it's not any good. Okay.
Everyone will laugh at mine. You're axe to axe. No, no one will get that.
Nobody's going to laugh at either one of those. They weren't funny. All right. So she goes to the central data core on MOGA where all the Green Lantern archives are at, and they won't let her in. It's like, this is a highly level classified area. You can't get in here, right? And she goes,
"No one gets to see the king.
The Great Oz? Not no one, not no how." And so she's like, "All right, fine. Well, I can visit with my friend. She knows John and she knows Kyle." And she
well, doesn't she know these people?
Not the rest of the Green Lantern Corps. She doesn't really, she's not familiar with, she doesn't act like she does. And so she.
She a Red Lantern at some point, so she should know all of them.
Isn't that prior to New 52? No? Thought it was. Huh.
Maybe,
yeah. So anyway, they.
I don't.
Yeah, boy, it's messed DC. Up. It's DC. It's messed up.
They reboot every year.
So. Yeah. So
that's what I heard a complaint. They reboot about a billion times now.
So anyway, they give her a room for the night, so she doesn't have to sleep in the spaceship she's traveling around in. And
actually, well, that's mighty nice of them.
Yes, and so she's staying in her room. When the axe thing, which folds up to like a hatchet size, if for convenience, the axe thing begins to like glow or something. And she was like, "Well, maybe I can sneak into the archives and find out what I want on the down low, right?" So she causes a distraction. I think Crypto or somebody does. And she sneaks in there. When she gets in there, the axe activates and goes to full size. All the alarms go off and everything. This just happens automatically because the axe feels threatened or something. And about that time, she trips a holographic image of an old dead guardian who was part of the circle of people who made a decision to
It's one of those alien people that were told Rogarzol he couldn't destroy Krypton.
Right. So what he tells her is like, "I am complicit in the murder of your entire race. I apologize. You have my..."
But they're still going with this story that he destroyed Krypton.
Right. And he says, "I am sorry." He said, "I fear we do not have time. They are coming for you now." He said, "Here, take this." And he gives her this, like, she's a hologram, so I don't know where he got a physical stone. But he gives her this red stone, this crystal-looking thing. And he goes, "This will lead you on your journey to the people you need to seek out, the other members of the circle. I am long since dead, and my actions have brought about my just deserts." In other words, I deserve to die. He said, "But there others of the circle are still living and still deserve your judgment. Find them and
kill them."
And she was like, "Well, how do I even use this thing?" Well, about that time, the message goes off. She doesn't know how to do anything. All these other Green Lanterns around going, "Kara, you realize this is the equivalent of breaking into the server room at the CIA, right? You know, this is highly classified. You're in big trouble." So she avoids fighting them. She flies down. They're in like this big shaft tube thing where all these computer files are at. She looks up like she's going to fly up, and so they all start to fly up, and then she goes the other way, and she goes down to the bottom. Kyle and John pursue her, and when they get down to the bottom, Kyle erects a dome over her, and he goes, "You might as well give this up. We'll make sure you get treated fairly. We won't let anything happen to you. We're your friends." Well, about that time, she does the Superman spin and down into the ground. And John Stewart.
I was thinking, why would they think that would stop her?
John Stewart looks at Kyle and goes, "You didn't put a bottom on your construct." And he went, "I didn't think about it, okay?" So she goes down into MOGO, and the other Green Lanterns are following her down there. She's in this pitch dark area. Well, all of a sudden, she can hear someone call out to her, and it's MOGO. MOGO is communicating with her telepathically. Mogo's read her mind. And MOGO tells her that her quest is just, and he will aid her. And like all the Green Lantern's rings that are after her, quit working. They're just like, he shuts them off. And he leads her into a path where her spaceship is at, and Crypto's got the crystal because she dropped it, and he picked it up. And they
quit. He's a good boy.
He's a good boy. Yes, you are. And so They get in the spaceship and they fly off real quick.
Even though I didn't see Krypton anywhere near her when she was in that area room. So
this is the guy at the end that they're looking for, the other member, the next member of the circle that she has to hunt down. And he already knows that she's on her way because he's got spies that told him.
He looks like the Iceman Godfather.
So it
I know this Carazora.
This is a story that was set up by the whole Bendis thing, but it's not being written by Bendis, and it's actually maybe as much or more interesting than what's going over on in the Bendis books, because this is like a real mystery.
And why is she dressed in that costume?
It's not her. That's just some cover.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, this is like her, I don't want to sully the good name of Superman, so I'll wear a different kind of outfit, so that if I have to do anything I'll regret, it won't reflect bad on Cal.
Okay, so she's not being bad.
No, she's just kind of being incognito, but she's still got that House of L symbol on her chest, so I don't know what makes anybody think it's not her. But, you know, anyway. It's a different book. It's a little slower paced. It's more of like a detective mystery almost, but it's good. I like it. All right, Charlie, Hawkman number 5.
I've been kind of weighing my options on this book. It's like,
are you going to stay on it? Or are you not
gonna yeah,
stay?
Because literally, I think Robert Venditti wrote good Exo Man War.
Mm-hmm.
But his Green Lantern run was bad.
Okay. I didn't read it.
It was terrible.
So I'll take your word for it.
He wrote it during the New 52 after Geoff Johns left.
Okay.
So but this book I kind of like.
Okay. So why wouldn't you stay?
And I don't know if it's because I like.
Is it like you like Hawkman? Yep. Or is it because it's a good story?
Or if I just like what's going on in the book, you know?
Well, that would be a good story.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Anyway, at the end of last issue, Hawkman meets up with Ray Palmer, the Atom.
Right.
Him and Ray are having a conversation in the microverse, and Hawkman's like, look, my life is being played out, and I gotta meet different variations of my life. I don't understand why. And the Atom says, well, that's not really how time travel works, because you normally wouldn't go back and meet a different version of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You would meet yourself. So something's going wrong. And he says, maybe it's probably because there's also a version of you,
right,
that was here in the microverse. So there's a teeny tiny, teeny, teeny, teeny tiny Hawkman,
yeah,
that used to be in the microverse too.
He's a wee little Hawkman.
And he goes, because of this, the microverse isn't in a fixed place.
Mm-hmm.
Theoretically, it's in all of space and time. That's why you're meeting your other variations of yourself.
Right.
I don't know if anybody knows this, but Hawkman and Atom used to be real good friends. And when Alex Ross did those posters,
mm-hmm,
a few years ago of all the JLA members, he had Atom on Hawkman's shoulders, and they kind of relived this back then.
Okay.
In this book. And he helps him fight these creatures, and he explains all this stuff. He's like, man, I even think there's even one on Krypton. That's where they leave the issue. But while they're on this this part of this in the microverse called Mozga, okay. It's Mozga.
Mozga.
They're fighting these creatures because it's the most vicious planet in the microverse.
Mm-hmm.
That the exact opposite happens. Atom gets real big, and then he's like, you might not know it, but this, you can do this on, I can do this on my planet. So it's like they were in reverse of each other, which was kind of
cool. So you had a big Atom and a little Hawk?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because that's where you see that big spread there. And that's kind of where it ends. He's fighting that thing.
Cool. So,
but it was kind of cool getting to see Atom and Hawkman together again.
Why wouldn't you stay on this? You seem like you're enjoying it.
The art's pretty good, too.
Yeah. Or is it just a monetary thing, you don't want to spend that much money or something like that? Or
I don't know. I still don't know if I like the fact that, the nth metal on him comes out like armor still.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like Iron Man.
So, it's nanobot just...
Yeah,
just forms on him.
Yeah.
That's weird.
I don't know if I like
that. That won't, trust me, that's one of those things that won't hang around. Because whoever's writing Hawkman 5 years from now will have forgotten about
that. Because that was a new 52 thing. Remember, he came back and he could make, like, maces and stuff out of the nth metal or whatever. But, yeah, it all came out of him. But
trust me, that won't stay. That's something that'll fade away. And you'll have, at some point, you'll have classic Hawkman who just got the harness and the wings and the mace.
Well, I got to go. I got to at least make it to Krypton where he meets the
Katar All. Yes. Excellent. All right. My last book of the evening is Detective Comics 990, written by James Robinson. So what I've decided is that I really enjoy a Batman book that's just a simple, straightforward detective story where, like, Batman's trying to solve a murder or something.
Yeah.
And Batman's not fighting for his life. He's not been injected with some type of, you know, Joker venom or Scarecrow serum or anything like that. He's not hallucinating. He's not seeing things. He's not been transported to new Apocalypse or the New Gods planet. He's not time traveling, hopping through dimensions. He's not been sent back in time. None of this crazy stuff that seems like have populated Batman comics for the last however many years.
Uh-huh.
It's just that there was a man that was dead, and Batman is investigating that murder. Upon investigating the murder, somebody burns the dude's house down before Batman can finish his investigation. It turns out it's Firefly. Not only is it Firefly, but it's two Fireflies, the original Firefly and a younger Firefly. Who would hire two Fireflies? Who would hire two of anything? Two-Face. So he tracks Two-Face down. Two-Face, for whatever reason, has got a mad on at James Gordon. He's trying to kill him. He still doesn't know what this has anything to do with the man that was originally killed in the first issue. And in addition to that, somebody's hired Cobra. Cobra is a terrorist organization that is not the same one that's on G.I. Joe.
I was going to say, we all know who Cobra is. Fighting through the night comes the fearful cry.
Cobra! Cobra! All right, but somebody's
hired. Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide.
Somebody's hired.
Who will turn the tide?
G.I. Joe. Anyway, sorry. I can't help it. Somebody's hired Cobra to come in. They hit Gotham City PD headquarters. Lights go out. They're in there with machine guns. They're just mowing down cops and villains and everything. All right. Batman's not there. But, I mean, he's working on something else. Who comes in to save Commissioner Gordon, but also hates Commissioner Gordon? Two-Face. And the guy standing over Commissioner Gordon that's about to kill him, Two-Face kills him. Batman's not sure why he did this. Batman said, I'm surprised that he didn't help him kill you. Unless it was one of those, if anybody's going to kill
him. It's a double crime.
Or double cross. Double cross. I don't know. So at the end of it, Batman, and long story short, he does a lot of reasoning. He does a lot of talking with Jim Gordon, trying to figure out what happened. There's a lot of putting pieces together. And then there's the attack on GCPD. And all this, and at the end of it, Batman and Two-Face, he tracks him down to his secret hideout, his second hideout, because Two-Face has always got two, and he's there at his big table, which is a copy of the scarred coin, and he says, I'm not here to fight you, Harvey, I just want to talk. And Harvey says, sure, at 2 a.m, what else is there to do? So, you know, it's a really good issue because it shows Batman locked into this mental game where Batman uses all his cunning and all his knowledge and all his detective reasoning. And you don't get to see that a lot when Batman is fighting for his life against space aliens and things.
Well, I've heard, like, since, like, Batman Rebirth number one, that Detective has been the book to read.
Yeah, but But
everyone's been like, oh, the big stories of...
Well, see, I've been reading the Tom King Batman books because that's the book that you need to read,
right? But I've heard everyone say they love Detective.
Well, this is the only...
And I've not heard praise like that for the regular Batman ongoing book.
But James Robinson's only on this for 4 or 5 issues. And so I wanted to check out this mini arc that he did.
Yeah, because the writer of the... Of the long arc of Detective, they left before he came in.
Yeah, so I was really, you know, if James Robinson was going to stay on Detective and write stories like this, I would be a dedicated reader. I really would. All right, Charlie, last book of the night, Beauty number 24. What is this? I don't know anything about this.
This is about a venereal disease that makes you look good.
Okay.
No, seriously, that's what it's about, uh-huh. Right?
What is this? Is this an image book? What is this?
Yes.
Yeah, sounds like it. All right.
But that's the thing. It's a venereal disease that makes you look good.
Okay.
And it's called the beauty.
Does it have any other ramifications? Do you die in 6 months?
Well, that's the thing. Like, when it first started, yeah, everyone who got it, like spontaneously combusted.
Ah, okay.
Within, like, a year or so of having it. But the book jumps around. Like, there's, like, a lot of stories that started dealing with that. And now, later on, there were hitmen. Like, one issue in particular, there was this, one hitman who was like 350, 400 pounds. And he was really good at his job, you know, but he was in love with this girl and they would never have sex or whatever. Mm-hmm. He found someone to do that with. He wakes up the next day and he's lost like 250 pounds. He's all ripped and muscled and everything. And it's weird because the tropes in this book is like, it flips the lid. It's like men are looking for extraordinarily beautiful women. Mm-hmm. Like, in this world, now they're looking for women who look average.
Right.
So, like, the average women are the ones to be with.
Oh, they're the pretty ones then.
Yeah. It's kind of weird how it, like, flips the book. There was one arc that was, like, a serial killer who was killing women who had this. Mm-hmm. And this is dealing with another couple of hitmen. But the thing is, it's the last issue. It was dealing with the hitmen who went to fight this crime boss. And it ended with the one girl, like, jumping out the window. There's two cops who are talking, and these two cops work together, and they're on a case. And they find, like, some of these dead bodies. I believe they're both, like, normal people. They don't have the beauty in them. And they find these burned bodies.
Right.
Well, they're talking about, like, a bunch of serial killers, and they go to, like, one of their CIs, and they're talking to the CI. Well, all of a sudden, there's a big, like, a gunshot in the background. They're like, well, you go on, you know, and we're going to go find out what happens. Well, they go up to this one building, and they hear a bunch of gunshots go off. Then all of a sudden, the windows explode, and this girl jumps out of it. So, like, the previous issue worked right itself into this issue.
Uh-huh.
And that's where the book ends. Like, the book ends, like, really weird cliffhangers a lot of the time. There's this one scene with this one dude. He comes out of the hot tub and like, look. Like, that is a deformity that I've never seen before. I mean, literally, it's huge.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I mean, it's not. It's like it puts Batman to shame. But yeah, it's this like 24th issue. Like there's been like a lot of crime drama in it, but like there's always been the disease in the background of
right.
All these cases. Like the cops have set up a special crime unit that just involves these people. That's what these two cops are working in, the beauty division.
It's weird.
It's a good book.
I'll take your word for it. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying I haven't heard anything that seemed compelling to me at this point. Because it seems like to me it would be a well-written story if it was about anything other than this disease. If it was about people with AIDS or anything like that.
Well, it's almost like that's the thing. It's like that's just the hook to get you into it.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's like if Brubaker, when he was writing Criminal, right?
Right.
If they just like in the background there was like, oh yeah, this is cartoon violence world or something.
But I feel like it's a false premise, similarly to The Walking Dead. The Walking Dead is supposed to be a zombie book. It's really not.
Yeah, it's not, but...
And so, you know, there's this
it's world... It's more of a drama.
It's an interpersonal drama, right. And it just happens to be set in the backdrop of a zombie apocalypse. And so this is a similar type thing. It's really a cop, crime drama.
Yeah.
But it's just set against the backdrop of this disease that's become rampant, that it's weird.
Yeah.
Okay. It just seems like a weird hook. I don't know.
That's good, though.
It may be fantastic. I've not read it, so I'll take your word for it.
Might have to get you, like, the first issue or something.
Oh, when am I going to read it? I can't even read my regular weekly books. Don't be doing that. All right. So that's it for this week.
John doesn't want any more books.
No books. I can't read anything else. So we'll be back.
Not even DRM free ones, Chris.
We'll be back in just a second to talk about episode 400 and close the show out. You guys sit tight. Alternate Reality, the comic book podcast. We want us to check us out on the website that we call home, arnetcast.podomatic.com. There you can listen to this show as well as a bunch of other previous shows and get caught up on all the alternate reality action that you might have missed. And then you'll want to come back to that page often to wait for new episodes to come out. All right. So this is episode 400, Charlie. The time we have waited for is finally here.
Yes.
We're celebrating. We're, you know, blowing, our little streamer things and all that. We got our party hats on. No, we don't. But, you know, we're having a good time here. So we asked people to send us emails and voicemails if they would to say, hey, congratulations on 400, only if you wanted to. Or you could tell us to take a flying leap. It's whatever you want to say. And we did get a couple, so let's check those out real quick. All right, so this first one, I believe, is from Dwayne Finstrom.
I thought it was Darren.
I don't know. Whoever it is, we'll find out.
Hey, John. Hey, Charlie. Dwayne Feenstra here. Just wanted to leave you a quick message saying congratulations on 400 amazing episodes. It's crazy to think that you guys have been around that long and how much of an impact your show has had on my little life. I don't even remember how I found your show. I think I saw you on a list. Your name sounded cool. I started listening. And then I got on the show. You guys let me on for God knows why. I had a blast. That led to me starting my own shows. I got farther into the comic industry, and through all that, I made a book. I honestly don't know if The Adventures of Arrow Girl would have came out without my experience with you guys motivating me to find out more of the industry. So you guys helped me get a book made, and I'll forever be thankful for that. So again, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for the discussions. Thank you for the reviews, the laughs, the disagreements, everything. Thank you guys for being you. Here's to 400 more amazing episodes.
That part at the end about the disagreements, that was for me.
I just imagine you two on a cliff one day, just like fighting it out. You're like Sherlock Holmes and Moriarty on Reichenbach Falls. You just,
which one went over? Oh, they both went over. So if you don't know, me and Dwayne, although very good friends, disagree vehemently on everything from politics to religion to, you know, food choice. And I don't know, I'm just making that up, but we have had many, many, many debates about civil liberties and constitutional rights and God, whether or not God exists and blah, blah, and just a ton of different things.
And they're rough.
And sometimes I walk away from those things a little steamed. I'm just like, oh, that guy. How am I friends with him? But I am, and we still are. So that's the great thing about long-term friendships that are really cemented in the love of comic books is that they don't easily erode, even though people can be a-holes and jackholes and mean and say horrible things about you and your faith and your country and your family and all these things. I don't guess he's ever said
anything. I don't think he's ever said anything about your family.
No, I don't think that's ever happened.
I don't think he would do that.
So, no, Dwayne is a classy guy for the most part, because the cool thing about me and Dwayne is that no matter how much we argued, we always walked away from it, you know, and shook hands and said, all right, well, I'll talk to you later. You know, it got heated, but it never turned into anything more serious than that. So,
and in the good spirit of things, he did give you a character. And
he did. He did use me as a character in his comic book, and I got to write a couple lines of dialogue because he wouldn't know, had no idea what a priest would say. So,
God, something, something, something.
Something, something, faith, amen. John will fill it in. So,
blah, yeah. Blah, blah, whatever the crap.
Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, the end. So yeah, it was a pleasure. You know, Dwayne, you know, just started pestering us one day out of the blue, as I recall. And it was like, you know, send us emails and send us things and start following us on Twitter and responding to us. And I'm like, this Dwayne character, do you know him? I think I asked Parton. And I said, do you know this Dwayne Finster character? And Parton's like, no, I don't know him. And I was like, well, he's all the time bugging me about wanting to come on the show and things like that. And I said, I guess maybe I'll let him just one time to try it out. And then from there, it blossomed. And he was a contributor to the show for a while. Then he branched off and did his own show for a while. And who was the dude he always hung out with every time he was doing a show? It was the same guy. He worked in the industry.
Dark Manning is the one he's...
Yeah, maybe it was him.
Big friends with him.
But he did like 57 shows of his own show, and that guy was on all of them.
Oh, well, then I don't know. I don't think he was on it.
I don't know. Maybe I'm remembering that wrong. Dwayne can correct me if I'm wrong about that. But yeah, I'm glad that we got to help him and get him started. And from there, he went on to create a comic book. So that's pretty cool. Is that still coming out? No?
Who are you asking?
You.
I don't know.
I haven't seen it. You're wrong. What am I wrong about, Parton? Parton here with a fact checker.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought Dwayne was like emailed us a lot of times because he'd talk about like he had like a long drive to school.
Oh, it was just a miniseries. It wasn't an ongoing. Okay. Arrow Girl.
Oh.
Okay, cool. So
thanks.
cleared things up. So I guess at this point he's not, you know, do anything else comic related, which is fine. He's probably got other stuff to do. He's what, a teacher now?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's cool. All right.
Plus, I think he still has school.
Yeah. And then he devotes a lot of time to his son and stuff like that. So he's a good guy. Thank you, Dwayne, for the message. We're very happy to hear from you.
He's a good guy.
I've not, and actually, he's not been as active on social media in the last year or two. So I hadn't really had any arguments with him in a long time. I thought maybe he had defriended me or something. I don't know. But he's still there. He's still roaming the interwebs, so that's cool.
All right. He probably gave up once Trump got elected.
Dirk was not every episode. All right, maybe not every episode.
I was just taking a guess. It's not a...
No, I'm the one that said that. I said he had him on every episode.
No, I just guessed that's who it was.
I think that's who it was.
I don't think so.
Maybe not.
I think it was another guy he used to do podcasts with.
Maybe so. I don't know. See, the details of these things get away from me. I can't be expected to remember stuff about people I like. All right. So we also got
it's not like we pay that much attention to your lives.
Yeah, you're lucky I still remember your name, Parton. All right. So we got a voicemail from Dan Lloyd, who at one time, well, he'll explain it.
Hi, John. Hi, Charlie. This is Dan from the UK. Congratulations on hitting the big 400. And just to let you know, I am not mad that you cancelled the show after I bought you the domain. Much love. Continue on.
All right, so Dan Lloyd from the UK. Thank you so much, Dan. Short, sweet, hard to beat. Dan says he's not mad at us that we canceled the show just within a few weeks of him buying us our own domain name. So
I think it might have been a month, but yeah.
Yeah, it was quick. It doesn't, you know. So I feel bad about it, but you know, water under the bridge, nothing we can do about it now.
No, you totally forgot.
So,
well, that's okay.
Yeah. You've had
a lot of stuff.
I have. My life's been complicated. Oh, Parton's still going on about Finster. He said it was a solo show, but he had a lot of guests. Okay. Quit defending him, Parton.
I remember that one episode that he stole of ours. This is alternate reality. No, it's not. It's not got John or Charlie on it. It's not alternate reality.
He recorded an episode. Did he send it to me and I posted it? Or did he post it himself? I think he sent it to me.
Yeah, you posted it.
I posted it. Yeah. It was weird. So it was the only episode of Alternate Reality that did not have... No. There was two of those. Because there was the one that Eric recorded at MegaCon without us. So there was two episodes of Alternate Reality ever that have not featured me and you. Either one of us.
That's like watching The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
It'd be like, oh, well, here's the one episode hosted by Martin Short.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, who's this guy? Change it.
Or Joan Rivers.
I remember when she used to host the show. That was weird. Okay.
Or when Jay started hosting the show. You're like, ugh.
All right, so Dan Lloyd from the UK, thank you so much for sending us the email, the voicemail. Chris Parton's going to send us one, but we can't use it because he sent the wrong file format. I imagine he'll get us a replacement one soon, and we will we'll maybe play that next episode. So that's sort of it for today's big 400 episodes. Woo! And pushing on into 401 and on. We hope to
maybe 402.
Have many more amazing.
Maybe 403.
Many more amazing episodes ready for you to go in the future. All right.
Because John's on a short leash here.
Yeah, I never. Wow. I rebuke all that in Jesus' name. Get behind
me. See, Chris doesn't know anything about that. He has to listen to earlier. He has to actually listen to the show.
Yeah.
To get what that's about.
Well, he's been on here most of the time. I don't know how much of it he may have missed. Anyway, it's not important. Alternate Reality Podcast is the place to go to for all your comic book related reviews. Every week we're talking about all the books that came out. You want to check us out over on our website at arnetcast.podomatic.com. You can conversely then... Yeah, he said he missed the pre-show. That may have been where we talked about it. You can send us email, which we've already talked about. Email us at alternatereality podcast, all one word, no spaces, hyphens, periods, or anything like that. alternatereality podcast@gmail.com. Tell us what you thought of the show, what you agree with, what you didn't agree with, what you liked, what you didn't like. We'll be happy to read or listen to and respond to your message on the air.
But it better not be any piddly little, like, you were wrong about this color of tape or whatever.
Yeah. Superman's name in Krypton Ease is... No, don't be giving me that. Don't be correcting my Klingon. Don't be doing that kind of deep in the weed stuff. No. All right.
Deep in the weed.
Deep in the weeds?
Never heard of that.
You've never heard the phrase deep in the weeds. It's when you're so deep into the details of things that you're past the point of anybody else caring.
Nope. It's another one of your John things.
No, that's on TV shows. That's on movies. Parton, back me up. Deep in the weeds is a common phrase, is it not?
I've never heard.
Now, there's a delay, so it'll take Parton like 60 seconds to report.
Never heard of that.
You've never heard deep in, like, we're a little into the weeds on this. You never heard of that? I don't want to get too in the weeds. Parton says, yep, nope. Common phrase.
Nope.
All right, you've been living under a rock your whole life. All right. Help us out, if you will, by going over to iTunes or wherever you pick up the show. They generally have some way of rating the show. Stop it! Don't be flipping off Chris Parton with one giant finger that was just all blurry on the screen. He couldn't tell what it was. Go over to iTunes or wherever you listen to the show, wherever you get it from, and rate us and review us. We would appreciate that. 5 stars or better, please. Only say positive things about us so that doing so will raise everyone's awareness of the show and lead more people to listen to it. That's good for us. That's good for you. You can catch us on the social network, twitter.com/John Loveless for me, /XOnslaught for Charlie, /AR_podcast for the show itself. And we're all three, me, Charlie, and the show, all over on Facebook. You can search for us there and find us with relative ease. And you can also watch shows for the time being, until we do something different. For the time being, you can watch shows live as we do it.
Or after we do it.
Yeah, or after we do it. It'll still there for you to watch. You can watch the show, a video of me, John, not Charlie, because he won't allow himself to be filmed. He's like that neighbor that Tim Taylor had in Home Improvement. And so all you can see is like the top of his head, or in this case, his finger. you can watch those videos on Facebook Live as we do them, or after the fact, so that you can put a face to the name. So that's cool. You can do that over on Facebook.com, Alternate Reality page. Alternate Reality is a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network, Comics with an S, Podcast with an S, double plural, where you can check out our show as well as a bunch of other really cool shows that belong to the network, comicspodcast.com. That's 400 in the books. Anything to add to that, Charlie?
No.
So here's to another 400.
John's like, you sure? You don't have a present?
What? I don't just sit and wait for you to bestow presents on me. All right. That's it for this time. And until next time, in the meantime, my name is John.
I'm Charlie.
400 more episodes on your way shortly. We are out. You guys have a good night.